You're listening to Casual Talk Radio, where common sense is still the norm. Whether you're a new or longtime listener, we appreciate you joining us today. Visit us at casualtalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
You know, I have purposely avoided discussing politics. I don't like discussing politics. I used to, and there's a part of me that still kind of does, you know. I'm of the mind that it's nobody's business who you vote for or I vote for. And I think, unfortunately, there's a fallacy in modern society to attack someone for their political choice. So that's why I don't like talking about politics. Everybody wants to attack. It doesn't matter what side. I don't mind if you are having a spirited debate about policies. I don't mind if you focus on facts. I don't mind if you're focused on the truth of the matter. Where I have a problem is when it gets emotional. You know, people that support Kamala Harris, and there's this white men for Harris, which is, come on, really? You're exposing yourselves as cucks, right? Because that's what they are doing. Because what does it matter? Like, think about it. What does it matter that you're white? What does it matter that you're a male? You're doing it because you're cucks. That's why. So you're exposing that you're cucks. You're cucking for her. And then what was different about Kamala versus Biden? Okay, you're exposing that you're cucks. I can't have a conversation with that group of people because you're exposing that you're cucks. Your motivation for supporting this person is because it's a female and because it's a, you know, has black heritage. I can't have a conversation with you. There's a group of people who would swear that, and this is, there's audio out there from some of the highest levels of the country, that Donald Trump is a dictator. I'll come back to it. It's not worth it right now. Donald Trump's a dictator is one. Donald Trump is a, quote, enemy of the state. That Donald Trump is a threat to our democracy. That Donald Trump incites violence. So when I hear these people speak, okay, if you're the kind of person who says, well, Donald Trump's a misogynist, there was a time you could make that case. I argue that has not been the case for a long time. Donald Trump fancies himself a comedian, whether he's funny or not, he fancies himself a comedian. He hasn't been misogynistic in a very long time. And he comes from that era where we didn't take it personally, like him doing Miss America pageants and all that. We didn't take it personal. We didn't judge him for these things. In fact, we praised trouting these women up there on the stage in dresses. We praised it at a point. They were getting record ratings when he was on there. We celebrated it. It only became a problem later. And again, this ties to the whole feminism and women's movements and all the things that happened since, where I would argue some of these people have just been okey-doked. Monique had a very interesting statement I'll come back to. Monique, the comedian. So all these things are said about Donald Trump. And then you get this white man for Harris. So I can't have a conversation with any of these people. If we look at inciting violence, as an example, Nancy Pelosi is on audio saying, I don't know why more people aren't rioting the streets. Maybe they will. You're inciting violence. You're encouraging them to go out and damage stuff. Maxine Waters saying, I'll take out Trump myself. You're inciting violence. People that call him a dictator, people that call him Hitler, people that... This, an enemy of the state, this, you are inciting people to violence. Donald Trump was attacked for January 6th when he said, I will fight and I will not stop fighting. I'll keep fighting. I'm fighting. Fight, fight. We got to fight. For the fight was termed an insurrection by the media. But yet when Elizabeth Warren, she's on multiple interviews talking about, we need to fight. We got to fight. Let's fight. It's not. It's ignored. The media ignores it. So then, when Donald Trump says, no, the media is not coming after me. They're not my enemy. They're your enemy. And the media attacks him saying, well, I don't understand. We're a free and fair media. And what are you talking about attacking the media? It's a Chewbacca. It's a diversion. They are trying to get you to distract yourself away from what's happening. What's happening is that the media is biasing you towards one direction or another. Elon, when he took over Twitter, was trying to skew it to the right. And he went too far. He recently was playing into their same thing. He got caught out and had to delete his tweets. But they all do it. This is why I'm critical of influencers, quote unquote, because they all do it. They all do it to some degree. The media does it. The influencers did it. Laura Loomer does it. She just got caught out saying something about Kamala Harris. It doesn't even make any damn sense. All these TikTok influencers and everybody, they all do it. I can't have a conversation with any of these people because it's always about how you feel about a person and your emotions of a person and not the reality and the truth and the policies. And there are people who will swear we were worse under Donald Trump than we were under Joe Biden because of the pandemic. Come on. The pandemic wasn't caused by Donald Trump. Donald Trump was the first to say, I believe it was man-made. I think it was man-made. I think it was made in a laboratory. And he got censored off Twitter for that. So let's be honest here. He was the first to call out that he thought it was man-made. He was the first to fight Dr. Fauci on it. He did give the stimmies and he started it because he was pressured to do it. That's all out there. He was pressured to do it by, at that point, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. He was being pressured to do that and pressured to avoid shutdowns when he was trying to get the border wall. So the timing of all this happened to be ironic. And he's trying to get something done. He can't get it done. But then pandemic shows up and he's basically pressured into doing this. And then the whole business closures and all that stuff. He's pressured because he's getting it on all sides because he's basically standing alone. He didn't have any allies. So he did what he did. Whether we criticize him, he's not the one that made the decisions. He's the one that signed, but he's not the one who made the decisions. The decisions were made by other people. We can look back and criticize what happened. We can have that conversation. But to say that he was an enemy of the state for what he did, to say that he was the cause of financial disruption when he wasn't, to say all these things that weren't true, and then to ignore that Kamala Harris was deemed the border czar. Biden has audio out there calling her that. And the media said, no, she was never a border czar. What are you talking about? There's audio of this idiot saying it. You're exposing yourself pants down with Vaseline on the side. That's exactly what he said. So since that's what he said, that's how we have to treat him. And we have to hold her accountable. So it's fair when people now, as she's trying to get into office, ask the question, you were in charge. You're still in VP. Why don't you do it now? Why is it such a problem? And she doesn't have an answer and they're not holding her accountable. So then they do this second debate or this first debate for, you know, Kamala, but second for Donald Trump. And Trump's thinking first it's ABC. And on the past, I said, there's a chance it's going to be biased. It was biased. They were doing a whole bunch of stuff to Trump that they were not doing to Kamala Harris. That was not fair. Why ever they chose to do that. The point is it was biased in what it was. Trump made the statement. It seemed like she had the questions and she already knew the questions ahead of time. The answers were a little bit too practiced than compared to other, you know, public speech. It's nowhere close. And so these are questions that should be answered. The mainstream media skips right over it. Now there's a second attempt on Donald Trump's life. He's out there golfing at his golf course down in Florida. And there's another shooter once again, within 500 yards. How can it be that the Secret Service is allowing somebody in that close of a perimeter? Then I guess he was an old FBI director or something. And he said, well, if this were a sitting president, the security would be tighter. So what we're saying, if that's true, is that the person who just stepped down from the Secret Service lied because she said, no, it was an honest mistake. We just screwed up, which wasn't true. If what this guy's saying is true, that it's just because he's not a sitting president, he doesn't get the utmost of security. I would then ask the question, if Secret Service is not going to properly protect this man of whatever, and then Biden keeps saying, well, he said in the first shooting down there, yeah, we're going to do the full, they have the full authority to do whatever you have to do to protect this guy. But yet we have another near miss. And in this case, the guy didn't get a shot off. Secret Service scared him off. But my point is, how can it be that they keep getting within 500 yards of the guy? These are questions, valid questions that should be answered that are not being answered. Ron DeSantis says that in Florida, we will do our own investigation because he's a Floridian. And so he's entitled to the rights and protections of the state of Florida. But it still begs the question, how can something like that happen under Biden's watch and under Ron DeSantis' watch? I don't know. But when Trump, you hear Trump talk about the swamp and you hear Trump talk about how, no, they're after you, I'm just in their way, and all these things he keeps saying, you're causing people to start questioning whether what he's saying is really true when you see all these shady things happen where it seems like the mainstream and the other side don't want to investigate and actually show effort to stop it. And then you get certain of these people. There were people on audio. I forget the guy's name. He's bald. He was talking about it's time to put a bullet in him. That's what he said. Snoop Dogg in the video he did where he's depicting shooting a fake Trump and that whatever her name is, the comedian, calls herself a comedian. She's holding up the severed head of Donald Trump. Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, Ayanna, whatever her name. Like you can't keep saying these things and expect that some nutcase isn't going to take it and try to act on it. And then they don't own that to say, that was in poor taste. We should not have done that. We need to corral it. Instead, it's, we need to calm down the rhetoric, but they're talking about the other side. They're talking about Trump. They're not talking about their side and holding themselves accountable for the things that they themselves have been saying that likely contributed to what's happening to him. So I can't have a conversation with them because I'm looking at it saying, it's a bit sketchy when you have two assassination attempts against the guy and there's no attempt to try to improve the security to really protect him. So you're transparently showing you don't really care. And some of you might be hoping it gets taken out. There was some lady who said, damn, they missed. I can't have a conversation because it's silly what's happening. No matter who you support, there should never, as I said, fuck you if you're the kind of person who supports shooting at a current or past or future president. It's not acceptable under any circumstances. I don't care what you say and I don't care what you feel. If you're the kind of person who supports taking somebody's life because you don't like how some things they said in private company, or you don't like how they, you know, were flirtatious with women, or you don't like how they have these parties, or you don't like their wealth, or you don't like something, you'd rather see them killed, that you're the kind of person to see them killed. This is the duplicity of society of today and why I can't have the conversation, because people are too in their feelings about it. It should be that we can be supportive of the politics and have the conversation around the politics and the policies. And I would argue that if you looked at the policies fairly, if you looked at where you are and where you were setting the pandemic aside, nobody can acknowledge that they're better off under Joe Biden. I don't care what you say. Nobody can say that. If they try to say that, they're lying. Everybody was better off under Donald Trump, primarily setting aside the pandemic, primarily because of his focus, that being his own pocket, that just so happened to benefit you downstream. The only exception to this was certain tax changes that created an additional burden on you. He took away certain of these tax cuts that were there. He tried to get rid of Obamacare. He tried to get rid of these things that would have created additional tax burden, but ultimately he took away a lot of these credits and cuts. Well, let's be honest here. The tax system has been a scam on you for a long time. You have become reliant on a refund. You have become reliant on begging for your money back. That's the system we live in. So the real solution is not, well, I want all these credits and I want all these cuts because I have seven kids. The real solution is we should have a consumption tax system that taxes you as you consume. You don't have to file a form. You don't have to beg for a refund. It's just as you consume, as you are a drain on society, you will be taxed and it's just transparent to you and the business is required to submit it on your behalf. That's simple. If we get to that point, everything gets a lot easier. But right now we have this weird situation where we don't even want to do that. We don't want to take and say we shouldn't be having to fill out a form to beg for our money back. And they'll come after you if you do not have withholding, as in we need to take the money from you first and then you can beg for some of it back. That's the game of it. That's the scam of it. The scam of it is they want to take it from you, as in your employer withholding on your behalf. And if you don't, they'll come after you because they think that, no, we know what we need and you have to beg for it. You have to justify why you get it back. Well, if you miss something or you get a number wrong or something else, then they come after you for that. What he was trying to do is get rid of all the complexity in the system. It's an overcomplex system that allows fraud, including him when he gets a zero tax because he's taking advantage of all these different credits and all these different cuts and deductions because he's a business. He's trying to simplify it down for the regular person and increase what the businesses can claim to also benefit himself. But if you add the burden of that paperwork on the business side and you take it away from the regular employee, that benefits you. I'm saying that the bottom line is we should really have a consumption system to where the form doesn't matter to you. It should matter to the businesses, not to you. It's silly to saddle you with a paperwork that forces you to justify why you should get money back that shouldn't have been taken from you in the first place. So we look at that. We look at the oil. People talk about, well, we have high levels of oil. We already have oil and we already have reserves. Trump has always wanted to be self-sufficient. He doesn't want to have any dependency on any country because he understands that when you have all of these rich resources, you become the superpower. That's what he's trying to push to. Less dependence on international creates more opportunities local. It creates more jobs. It increases salaries. It increases demand. It enriches all of us. It makes all of us richer. Regardless, we can say, yeah, but that's xenophobia. It's not xenophobia. This is business. It should not be that we are putting ourselves out to benefit other countries. It's the wrong answer. And that's his point. His point is, at the end of the day, we need to take care of America first, because as Jay-Z once said, I can't help the poor if I'm one of them. I would argue nobody is in a situation where we can freely give our stuff away to other countries. Then you say, well, the rich do a lot. They donate a lot. They give a lot. They do a lot that you don't see. But no, they're not going to give away. If they're a billionaire, they're not going to give away half their wealth or the vast majority of their wealth, because they don't need to. They earned it. They worked for it. Some of them were inherited in it, like Paris Hilton. But even Paris Hilton, she donates, she gives, she does stuff. You shouldn't be worrying about their pocket. You should worry about your pocket. That's the flaw. And the reason it's hard to have the conversation, because people are too busy staring at somebody else's pocket and how somebody else is spending and how somebody else is wealthy and how somebody else worked hard, and they're not focusing on themselves and self-improvement. Then there's an excuse about what they can't do or what they can't get or why they can't do or why they can't afford or why can't go somewhere. Sometimes self-accountability comes into play. Donald Trump, when he was in office, was trying to get it to where people had the opportunity to succeed. Joe Biden, while he was in office, took away opportunities for self-sufficiency and increased reliance on the government, which has gotten people spoiled. They believe that's the only way to be. They believe that's the right answer, but they don't understand the downstream. The downstream is, if you create reliance on the government and you are subject to what they want, they can take stuff away from you, and now you don't understand what the heck's going on. Well, that's you gave it up. You said they dangled the carrot and you got trapped. And that's the trap that everybody else is sensing. When we talk about who to vote for, that's why it doesn't matter how you feel about the person. They're not acting because they're a person. They're acting because they have people who are screaming at them to change the world. And if you support that change, that's cool, as long as you understand the downstream impact of what you're asking for. When you say we have to rush all the EVs and all this garbage, you got to understand that Chicago, when it's deep freeze, that rhymes, you are going to be stuck somewhere. And you have to be okay with that. You can't complain. You asked for that because you didn't understand that we are not ready as a society. When you have to do that drive across state because somebody asked you to go across state for whatever you needed to do, and you do that drive and then you get stalled in your EV because there's no charging station anywhere close, you got to hoof it because they took away the call boxes along the road because they figured you had a cell phone and you're in the middle of nowhere where there's no cell signal, or you're driving past Area 51 where they block it. You asked for that. You jumped all in YOLO on the cell phone. You said, let's go all in on EVs, even though we're not ready for it. When that happens and something happens to you, don't complain, is all I say. People are saying, well, that's not going to happen to me. Then it happens to them, and then they blame the government and say the government should have fixed that. No, you asked for that because you went YOLO on the business. Now we're in the streaming situation where we're taking away cable and it's going all streaming, and people are doing the math and they're like, wait a minute. My streaming bill, I have to do all these different services because there's not one streaming like I thought there was going to be. And that bill is actually higher than what it was under the cable because I have to have an internet bill plus the streaming bill plus the caps. So you might end up paying twice what you're paying. You fell for that. You fell into the trap because that's what you asked for. You said, oh, YOLO, let's cut the cord. Let's go all streaming. It's going to be cheaper. You knew it wasn't going to be cheaper. You knew they were going to get their money somehow. The right answer was regular cable, because regular cable didn't depend on internet, and thus it actually netted out cheaper, bottom line, for those that really wanted to watch TV on a frequent basis. And streaming is not the right answer unless you have a family of a bunch of people who watch different shows on their various devices. That's fine. Then you eat that and you understand that the internet's going to rip you off and the plans for streaming are going to rip you off. You asked for all of these shifts that are happening. You asked for all these changes that are happening. Because you asked for it, you're getting what you wanted. So you can't complain regardless of who's in office, because all of this happened regardless of the person sitting in the chair. All we can hope for is that the person sitting in the chair lightens the burden on your wallet or purse to a degree that all these additional services don't have the same impact on you that they normally do. The rush to EVs hurt you no matter what. The killing of oil hurt you no matter what. Trying to socialize all this stuff and giving away free money and fight for a minimum wage and all that hurts you. It's just that you haven't resonated with how much it hurts you yet. And you won't until you lose your job. And then you realize that the hiring process is jacked up and biased against you to where it's harder for you to get work. And then you try to go to unemployment and you realize that there's additional red tape that wasn't there before that makes it harder for you to get it, harder for you to keep it. Then you try to do food services and you realize there's red tape added on there that makes it harder for you to get it, harder for you to keep it. And you have to sit there and waste time. And that's assuming you have the ability to do so. You're not going to understand until you're in those tough situations that people are struggling with day to day. Once you're in those situations, hopefully it clues in. The current administration is not your ally. Kamala Harris would not be your ally because she would do the same thing Biden's doing for the same reasons. That's what they believe. They believe that we'll give you these little carrots that we dangle all over the place, but they're not really fixing the root cause of what's going on. Donald Trump, when he was in office, was working to try to do it until the pandemic hit. That's data. You can go search yourself. You don't have to listen to me. This isn't advocating one or the other. I'm saying that when we have the conversation and we say, well, which was really the better candidate? Nobody can argue that Joe Biden was a better candidate than Donald Trump speaking about the policies. People might say they liked Joe Biden more than they liked Donald Trump because of mean tweets or something. People can say that they felt like Joe Biden, because he was aligned with Obama, would have been a better fit or they thought he was. You can say all these excuses after the fact. Nobody can say that from a policies perspective that Joe Biden was going to be a better candidate than Donald Trump. Nobody can say that Joe Biden was a better candidate than Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders was the most popular candidate up there, and yet they all rushed towards Joe Biden. Joe Biden didn't even hardly respond. He didn't hardly campaign. He got schooled by all the other Democrats on that stage, yet somehow still won that nomination because they rushed him in there because he was associated with Obama. That's what happened. Then people learned a hard lesson. They learned Obama's VP was incompetent. Obama's VP wasn't anywhere near as good. Obama himself has trashed Joe Biden in private. So if you weren't listening to that and you fell for the Obama narrative, you have only yourself to blame. I'm saying it's not about Trump. It's not, because even all the people that Joe Biden was campaigning against on the Democrat side were almost to a T better than him. And yet people still nominated Joe Biden and they rushed him over the finish line when he was not suitable for it. You now feel the downstream impact because they didn't care what you thought or felt. And there are people out there who said, yes, I voted for Joe Biden because I didn't like Donald Trump. You have only yourself to blame because that impact on you now is your doing. You did that. And what I'm hoping is that people accept that. They accept, at minimum, you should have voted for Bernie Sanders because there's right imbalance in states. Vote for Bernie Sanders. Vote for anybody else up there. Anybody else up there. And I guarantee you it would have been a better situation than what we ended up with. You voted for the worst of the pickings up there on that table. I'm talking just the Democrat side. You voted for the worst. You voted for the bottom of the barrel. This is what you got. Because you knew what it was. People were saying it multiple times. Joe Biden's not fit for this. And you rushed him over it anyway. Now that we've had time to reflect and we're getting close to another election, you have another choice again. They're doing it again, but now they forced Biden out because they realize, crap, we made a mistake. He was not suitable for this. We thought he was because he was associated to Obama and he's had flub after flub after flub. This is not the right answer. Kamala Harris was essentially now being rushed over the finish line. So you have a risk of repeating what happened for another 4 years. I'm talking about somebody who's not suitable to be president. Because there were so many other candidates on the Democrat side, they were nowhere near as well known, certainly, but you had way better options than Kamala Harris. As it stands, if you're on the Democrat side, you're stuck with who you're stuck with, except where you can write in a different name. And that's the only thing we can hope for, because you got to think about it. If you really like Kamala Harris, you got to start thinking about why you like her and have a very specific reason that you do, talking about policies, not, well, I hate Donald Trump. That's not a reason. I'm talking policies. Say something about the economy. Say something about the border. Say something about international relations. Say something about our military. Say something about your bills. Say something that is policy that you like of Kamala Harris. Chances are you can't find anything because she hasn't said anything, because she doesn't know how. She has been reliant on Joe Biden and behind Joe Biden for this time. And so now she doesn't really have anything she would put forth. She just got done up on the stage supporting the same things Donald Trump was talking about. The most she can hang her hat on is abortion rights. Abortion rights is a 50-50 issue. It's not going to stop being a 50-50 issue. Nothing will change. It's always going to be a 50-50. The Supreme Court has already ruled, okay, we're done with this. Yet we say we want to keep fighting it. But when we have the same sex deal that the Supreme Court did the same thing, they just dust it. They're like, whatevs, don't care. No, it should be Supreme Court has ruled. Let's move on. If we do that and leave it to the states, because that's basically what it is. Leave it to the states to do that. There's no federal law about it. Leave it to the states. That's what Trump wants to do. That's what Kamala is trying to say. No, we should go Fed. Well, you can't have it both ways. She's inconsistent about her policy approach. The inconsistency harms her chances. I know the polls tell you that she's shooting past Donald Trump. Remember what happened when they said the same thing about Hillary Clinton. And I'm saying this not to tell you to go either way. Because again, I said anybody else on the Democrat stage prior to them rushing her over would have been better than her. I'm straight up. Every last one of them, though less well-known, would have been better than her. She's being rushed because she's female. She's being rushed because she has black heritage. She's being rushed because she's current vice president. That's all. And they know the best possible person to go against Donald Trump is a woman. But that's also going to be to her detriment. Because despite the debate that just happened, where she mysteriously performed better than she ever has, despite that, she doesn't really have anything she's putting on the table. And if you see through the smoke, you'll recognize there's nothing that she's brought to the table that should tell you that she's worthy of doing the work. We don't know if Donald Trump is worthy of doing the work either, given how much damage has been done. But what we do know is that he's a fighter. He's going to keep trying. Two assassination attempts, he's still fighting. Like, think about how rich he is, and he's still willing to get up there and fight. It should inspire you, if nothing else, if you could look past the personality of the man, and some people simply cannot. So when you decide to vote, vote with your mind, not with your heart. That's all I ask. And think about the policies and which policies are more important to you. And maybe you still settle on where you've already settled. I've not changed anything. I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm saying that for me, it's hard to have the conversation because people don't want to change their mind.